Our reading today on which Paul's sermon is based is taken from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 9, beginning to read at verse 57. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But the man replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you.
I think maybe a good subtitle for today's meditations might be "The Journey of Life." And you will see why I say that as we go through. I guess most of you know that I'm retired and that I'm quite a lazy oit now. I spend quite a lot of afternoons in my man cave, otherwise known as the conservatory, where I've got my sports telly, okay? And if there's no sport on, I will watch a music video or something like that. So over the last few months, I've watched Beethoven, I've watched Lady Gaga, I've watched the Rolling Stones and Eric Clapton and Ray Charles and Stevie Wonder, all sorts of people who I like their music. This last week or so, I watched a concert by the Rolling Stones, which was recorded in London in an open park. I guess it was Hyde Park in 2013. And I thought it was very interesting that the last two songs that they did were "You Can't Always Get What You Want" and "I Can't Get No Satisfaction." And then I watched the Eric Clapton concert, which was a recording of him going around the Far East in 2014. And he played his 300th concert in Japan, toured around Japan, went to Singapore, came back to the Middle East with his small group of superb musicians. And there were several comments recorded as they went around. A couple of the guys said what a privilege it was to play with such good musicians. They didn't really need music. They didn't have playlists. They didn't have a prompt list. They just played because they were so familiar with the music and they were such expert musicians. One of the backing singers, a lady who was a little bit younger than most of them, the rest of them were in about their 70s, you know, even older than me, but this young lady said that she admired the expertise of the guys and she enjoyed the fellowship. I thought that was very interesting in a secular context. And then they asked Eric what he enjoyed about touring, about travelling, about being on a journey. And he said, well, he loved being with ordinary people. What a privilege it was to play to thousands and thousands of ordinary people and to play with these experts. What don't you like? Well, I don't particularly like the travelling because it's such a fad with all the customs and things like that. And I miss my family. And what about retirement? Well, I've been talking about retirement since I was 18. And I'm coming up to 70, so I think I might retire. But on the other hand, if God has given you a talent, you need to use it. Isn't that an interesting comment from Eric Clapton? So, our series on lordship. Are you working? Yes. There's Eric and his gang is currently exploring the cost today. Last week we were looking at picking up your cross and denying yourself and following Jesus. And our theme today continues really with looking a little bit further at the cost. Jesus spells out to three prospective followers what he expected of them. As usual, they were on a journey. Verse 51, which we didn't read, says, as the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for heaven. And then verse 57, which we did read, as they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. That's pretty categorical, isn't it? I will follow you wherever you go. It's saying, I'm seeing you. I'm seeing the good things that you are doing, and I want to follow you. But Jesus, instead of welcoming his declaration and telling him how pleased he was to have another follower, spoke out in verse 58 and said, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. It's almost as if he's saying, look at me. It ain't going to be easy. In fact, it's going to be quite hard. I have no home. I have no possessions. I've got no extra clothes or money. I'm going to be killed in a few weeks' time. It is hard. Interesting that Jesus, in this passage, doesn't spell out the positives that those who follow him have. He didn't refer him to Peter and James and John and Andrew and Matthew and the others and remind him about the fact that he said to them, follow me. And they just left everything. They'd left wives, they'd left children, they'd left their possessions, their homes, their livelihood, and they had followed the king, abandoned everything for him. Jesus turns to another man and says to him, follow me. This man is a little less sure. He said, Lord, first let me go and bury my father, which sounds to me like a pretty reasonable request. But I quote from one of the commentaries, which says, the obligation to bury one's father was regarded by most Jews as the most sacred and holy and binding duty for any son. It was a lifelong commitment. And in this case, obviously, it eclipsed Jesus' command. Now, it's probable that the man's father wasn't dead. If he was dead, then the man would be away burying him there and then. But in fact, he was waiting to be able to fulfill that lifelong obligation, which would possibly happen many years in the future. Jesus replies. Jesus replies, verse 60. Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Let the dead bury their dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. It's as if Jesus is saying to him, come on, man. Let the spiritually dead bury the physically dead. But I want you to follow me and to go and to proclaim the kingdom. The third man steps up and says, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go and say goodbye to my family. Again, it seems like a very reasonable request, doesn't it? But Jesus comes back with this. No one who puts his hand to the plough and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. I think Jesus' followers would have had a wry smile at this comment, because in this agricultural society in which they all lived, the man who couldn't plough a straight furrow wouldn't keep his job very long. Everyone would know, whether they were an expert or not, that if you were going to plough straight, then you needed to look ahead. You needed to look at the field ahead. You needed to look at the feet of the oxen in front of you, rather than what you had already done. So here Jesus spells out to his followers, and that means you and me as well, the absolute priority of the kingdom of God, of following him as Saviour and Lord. Service in the kingdom demands everything. I thought it was significant that the UCB notes this week, which Sheila and I use, the word for today, they're doing a series on surrendering to God. And on Thursday, the comments were this. John Calvin defined surrender in these words. It is to have no other will, no other wisdom, but to follow the Lord wherever he leads. Surrender is to have no other will, no other wisdom, to follow the Lord wherever he leads. And then the comment, to do this you will have to face your greatest fear. Who will drive your life? It's pretty handy to have Jesus in the passenger seat when we require his service. But when it comes to sliding out from behind the wheel and letting Jesus drive, we're not so sure about that, because it means we are no longer in control. Very interesting, isn't it? And then a little story from William Barclay. He talks about the great Methodist preacher, William Watkinson, who was around at the end of the 1800s. Watkinson tells how he was once at the seaside with his little grandson, and he met an old minister. The old minister was very disgruntled, and to add to all his troubles, he had a slight touch of sunstroke. The little boy had been listening, but had not picked it up quite correctly. And when they left the grumbling complaints of the old man, he turned to his granddad and said, "Granddad, I hope you never suffer from a sun sweat." The Christian marches on, not to the sunset, but to the dawn. The watchword of the kingdom is not backwards, but forwards. To this man, the third man, Jesus did not say either follow or return. He said, "I accept no lukewarm service," and left the man to make his own decision. And that is how it is for you and for me today. Jesus calls us and he wants us to respond positively. The fact that you and I are here today, I think, says yes, we have begun to respond. Or maybe even we've been responding for a very long time. We've been with Jesus for a long time on our journey. Hallelujah for that. Jesus is honest. He spells out that it's going to be hard. And it seems that that's been our message, hasn't it, for the last two or three sermons. It's going to be hard taking Jesus as our Lord as well as our Saviour. However, I encourage you to read on in this good book. Because when we take time to read and to take in the full gospel message, we begin to realize the positives, the benefits, even the rewards of living in the kingdom with Jesus as Lord. It begins with redemption, as Jesus pulls us out of the dark morass of worldly living into the glorious light of his presence. Through Jesus' death upon the cross, we are granted forgiveness as we believe and as we trust in him. Because he won new life through his glorious resurrection, he gives to you and me new life. And his Holy Spirit comes to live with our spirits. This life is eternal. It is forever and forever and forever with no end. It begins now as Jesus offers to us life in all its fullness. And it doesn't end even though we die. Just listen to the last but one chapter in the Bible. I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss and holding in his hand a great chain. And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with me, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." That is what is at the end of our journey. Peter has learned well. Listen to what he says. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3. His divine power, God's divine power, has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. He's given us everything that we need for our journey. Let's return a little longer to following and serving Jesus and what it might involve for you and for me. You know, I can relate to these three guys who Jesus talked to in this particular incident. In the mid-1980s, Sheila and I had a very good situation. I had a very good job with the Central Electricity Generating Board as a research engineer. Sheila had a job working with children. We had a huge house. We had a car each. And we had two lovely teenage daughters. We were working more and more with young people, particularly in the Methodist Church, and we began to take assemblies in schools in Harrogate, and we had large concerts going on every other month or so. And it was as if God was drawing us out from our secular work situation. We gathered together a group of maybe 30 or 40 prayers from right around Harrogate, and they encouraged us in what we should be doing. And then in the at the Easter time, probably in about 1987, I'm guessing it was, we went to Swing Harvest and we started talking to Youth for Christ. And they said, "Well, you seem to have the beginnings of a Youth for Christ Centre." And we said, "Great, so what do we do? And they said, "Well, just do what you're doing now, but even more." Difficult. So over the next two or three months, we prayed. We prayed a lot with these different people. We upped the work, did even more work with young people. And over the summer, I'm thinking to myself, what on earth do I need to do? I'm enjoying my work here as a nuclear engineer, but I know I would enjoy working with young people, working for the Lord even better. And then in the September, a dear friend said to me, "Paul, are you ever going to give up your job?" Help. But I knew deep in my heart that that was what God wanted me to do. So we prayed further, Sheila and I and our family, and we made the step. I gave my notice in, and in the middle of that October, we started working full-time with Youth for Christ. Now, I had several advantages over those three guys that we read about. The most important one was it wasn't just me. It was me and Sheila and Jane and Helen. We were together in this. We were stepping out in faith together. The second is that we had loads of encouragers and supporters who were praying and eventually who were giving to support the work. And we had the words from Scripture. And this in particular was a word given to us three times just before we both gave up our work. "My God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." Isn't that a wonderful promise that God gives to us? Paul speaking to the church in Philippi, "My God will meet all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus." And that really was the last thing to give me the push that I needed to go and work for the Lord full-time in Youth for Christ. It was hard. But wonderful things happened in those 10 years. And we continued to pray to God that he would guide us. And he has guided us even past those 10 years. Right up to date, we pray about every big decision that we have to make, that God will guide us and he will help us by his Holy Spirit with every aspect of our lives. At the beginning of this series on Lordship, I suggested it might be a good idea for each one of us to write down a list of the important things in our lives, and then to pray to God, to ask him to reveal to us whether we had given those things over to him. I suggest that if you haven't done that, you do it. And if you have done it, you look at the list again and you read it. See if you have given everything to Jesus. You have accepted his lordship in every area of life as you journey with him. Then ask him what he wants to give back to you, for you to have and to hold for him, and then to serve and to do with him. It could be that Jesus calls you to something pretty incredible. Do you remember Jessica and Francesca who came with Andy to our service and told us that they were going to Ecuador in a couple of months' time? I'm sure you know about Neil and Joy and their travels around the world with the Lord. God may ask you to do something pretty incredible like that. On the other hand, he might ask you to do something pretty incredible like stay and pray. The practicalities of surrendering your life to the Lordship of Christ Jesus might involve talking to the family next door, inviting the new lady who seems to be a little bit lonely to come and have a meal or a coffee with you, being prepared to chat in Morrison's or on the High Street. You might be called to give to the Women's Refuge or to the Homeless Project or to a different charity. You may be called to work with the food bank. You may be called to smile or to give or to share your story, to invite or to pray. There is so much kingdom work for us all to be involved in. St. Paul writes in the middle of his letter to the Ephesians a prayer of encouragement. He says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that it is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." I want you to look at those words, and then if you can, say them with me. Can you read it from the back? Just about, okay? Ready? "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Happy journeying with the Lord. Amen.